top secret podcast is being released to the public. Please stand by.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Pregame. I'm your host, Sean Abney.
And Nikita here.
We co-host. It was a tri-host until Gus missed the second one again. Gus is not here.
This is the third one.
Third? No, he's only missed two, though.
Yeah, but he missed the second.
His second miss. So we apologize for all those Gus fans. I'm sure there's none, but...
I don't know. Gus was that guy, you know, everyone wanted.
So yeah, we'll try to get Gus back on. Try to get other special guests on soon. And
but today's episode is a special one. I'm not sure how long it will last because it's more of a one topic type of thing. And we are talking about our top 10 games of the year, or at least specific, the rest of the year. What's left of it?
It's going to be the most our most anticipated games for the rest of 2010. So
yeah, what's left? And there's a lot left. Remember, guys, this year has been a big year for gaming. Big.
And after we do that, we're going to also be talking about Call of Duty Black Ops. The multiplayer trailer has just been released.
We probably should talk about it during when we mention it, should
we? Yeah, I guess then we'll talk a lot about each game.
So, Number 10. We definitely have, we need some special effects to go right now. So, ready? For game number one.
Number 10. We're starting off 10.
10. Game number 10. Special effect now. Alright, for number 10, we have Sean.
Alright, I guess I'll talk about this one.
Yeah, because I don't know anything.
God of War, Ghost of Sparta for the PSP. Now, when we were looking for games to do, we were kind of falling short. And I just remember playing Chains of Olympus, I believe.
The first one for
PSP. Yeah, it's Chains of Olympus on PSP, and it's such a good game. I think it's one of the best PSP games, that and the Ratchet and Clank game on PSP. Yeah, it's really good, and I'm sure Ghost of Sparta will be just as good. If fans of the franchise who like the story, we get a bit more Kratos in your lives, and I'm pumped. Finally, I mean, PSP, I gotta say, it has a lot of potential. It's a sick handheld, but it gets kind of crappy games. So it's good to see good games like Ghost of Sparta come out. And I'm pretty pumped for this one. So that's number 10. It's a short one.
Cue effect for number
9.
For number 9, we have, well, I don't know much about this either. So, Sean?
Yeah, you're gonna do the next one anyway, so.
Yeah.
So, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. I remember playing the other Hot Pursuit type games as a child for Need for Speed. And they're pretty fun. So this one should be good. Updated graphics. Once again, a bit lower on the list. I mean, this is more for the racing fans.
Vroom vroom.
Racing game fans. And
let's get the racing cue special effect.
All right. And yeah, I'm pretty pumped for this. It should be coming out on Xbox, PS3, I believe. I mean, I'm not too sure about that, but
yeah. I mean, we could be completely BSing for all you know, but you know, that's generally what it is.
Yeah. So
Number eight. Cue effect for number eight. For number eight, we have Fallout New Vegas. Okay, so. For those of you who don't know, this is a almost sequel. Well, it's not exactly a sequel. Well, yeah, it is. It's not Fallout 4, but it's its own game. It's not like the add-ons that we saw for Fallout 3, where it was like Operation Anchorage, you know, the Pit, Mothership Zeta. It's not like that. It's his full game. It has its own unique character, and the character I believe he's a courier. He's a messenger. And this game is very similar to Fallout 3, just a new story, and it takes place in the Nevada area near New Vegas, which is
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, So far, from what I've seen, the game doesn't offer too much that's new. I know that it has an improved VAT system, VATS system. That's the one where you know freeze time, and then you could shoot. But generally, it's going to be pretty similar, I believe, to Fallout 3. So if you guys love Fallout 3, remember to play New Vegas. Coming out sometime in November, I believe. Maybe 8th? I don't want to guess, but whatever. Okay. Q effect for...
Number 7. World of Warcraft, Cataclysm. I got the last two, so you can get this one too.
World of Warcraft, Cataclysm. I'll admit I played Warcraft when I was younger. I played a little bit recently, not too much. But
for the Horde?
For the Alliance, yeah. Whatever. But Cataclysm is coming out. And supposedly, it's going to change all of Warcraft as we know it.
Yeah, it's going to go back to pre-VC. Do you know about the classes, or should I?
You would.
Two new classes.
Races, you mean.
Races, right. So. I don't think there are any new classes.
No, no new classes. Races.
The races are for the Horde.
The Horde. Goblins.
Goblins, yes. And, trolls are getting their own new, starting realms,
yes.
Starting areas,
City.
So they don't start off with the orcs. So that's cool. So.
Well, if the trolls get it, why not the gnomes? I mean, what's wrong with the gnomes?
Goblins, right? The new ones?
Goblins and the Alliance have the Worgen. They're the werewolf type things.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are saying that the Worgen look more Horde.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
But the Alliance doesn't need someone that looks a little bit creepy, you know?
Yeah.
The Horde, they had their blood elves, and then they don't look so, you know,
horde-ish. I gotta say, I think the Worgen will bring a lot of new Alliance players, because that's pretty sweet.
They look epic. Do they have their own city? Because I saw in the commercial...
I think they'll have their own city.
They have their, like, London-looking city. You know, it makes sense, because, you know, London werewolves, that's how it works.
I mean...
The Worgen are in the game.
It's kind of how the Alliance have always been, like... One of the reasons people tend to think Alliance is more for newbie players is because, like, the people, like, look a lot cooler.
For what?
On the Alliance. Like, they're more appealing. I mean,
really?
If you think about it.
I don't know. I was, when I first started the game, like, oh my god, the Horde looks amazing.
I don't know. It's the same thing. And
the Alliance is pretty good. They have their good the races. I mean, other than Night Elf and Draenei, I don't like any of the other classes.
Yeah,
who wants to be human in a role-playing
game?
Yeah.
Night Elves are sick.
Yeah. But the Worgen there, in the original game, you can find them there. The Goblins, you know, we should have seen that coming because everyone wanted the Goblins. I personally wanted the Pandas, you know? The Pandas, that was a possible option, you know?
The Goblins are like the Dwarf. Or more the...
The Dwarf of the Horde. And, you know, they got their own...
I was basically just balancing the two teams even more.
Yeah. But what we completely did not mention yet is, in Cataclysm, the whole world changes. World of Warcraft changes. Everything is changed. Well, I can't say everything, because I'm sure they'll keep one or two things. But every place gets affected some way. The Barrens is now a tropical rainforest. The Dark Shore up there is in ruins now. I know some places are deserts where they used to be lush forests, you know. Everything's really different. Like, they completely changed the terrain all around.
I mean, in a way, you're getting a new World of Warcraft, if you think about it. You're getting World of Warcraft,
everything
too.
Everything is new. Quests, everything. I mean, you have to imagine, like, if the whole world is different, then obviously they have to put new quests in. So, they really did a lot for this one. And you got that evil dragon dude.
And with that, expect a higher price tag, I'd say.
No? Same price tag. I'm pretty sure they announced it recently.
Good job, Blizzard.
Yeah, but I mean, still same world, but they just changed how it looks.
We'll have to wait and see.
All right. Q effect for game number 6.
All right, so, probably will. Rock Band 3. Now, this is... If you're thinking, like, oh, another Rock Band game, I don't need it. I mean, the main difference that sets this one apart is the pro... I think it's called pro instrument, something pro something. You don't know.
Well, the main there. I would say there was at least four main differences.
No, I mean, but well.
I mean, the keyboard.
Yeah.
The introduction of a keyboard. That's big.
There's the keyboard. There's the instruments guitars. Now. The guitar. We'll talk about. There's three guitars. There's the normal guitar.
Yeah.
That's just that's like the one you know and love or hate. Yeah. And then there's a new one that's like, it's got, for each fret, there's like a button.
Yeah.
So it's a crap load of buttons. I think for each string too, there's a different.
Yeah. Button. So imagine like strings on a real guitar, except they're all buttons.
And now. I think you strum.
Yes, and it's actual strings on the bottom when you have to use.
And then the third one is a guitar.
A real guitar. Plug in. I'm not sure if you can use your own. Like,
yeah, I think you can use your own guitar.
Like maybe there's limitations to which guitar or something, but yeah, you can use your own guitar. So that should be cool for your guitar players, not for me personally, because I don't play guitar.
Yeah, and for all those who, like, fantasize when they play and thinking about, like, oh, I wish this was a real guitar I could play, and well, now you can. And there's the keyboard.
The keyboard's going to be awesome.
There's also two pro singers. For keyboard, yeah. There's
pro for keyboard. Yeah, you could have, like, just a couple keys, like, maybe one octave.
Like, the five keys, yeah.
Yeah, the five keys, or just the whole thing, you know.
And then there's the pro. What else?
The two singers, no. There's two people can sing, you know.
And then
it's going to be full of, and drums. So you got, let's see, I think two guitars, you know, or no, one guitar, the bass, two singers, a keyboard player, and a drum. That's like six people.
Yeah.
Or is it seven? I'm pretty sure, maybe there's seven.
I don't know, but
maybe there's two
guitars. Wait and see. I might just go out and buy, like, the guitar peripheral, although you're going to need the game, too. So I don't know. I'm going to see how it is.
Yeah.
And what the price tag is. Because I think we're all a bit tired of buying new peripherals.
I mean, the equipment already is huge, you know.
Yeah, it's like a lot.
The drum kit and the guitar, so they could just add it so you can get the game and maybe, like,
just a new guitar.
New guitar or keyboard. All right, cue effect for game number five. Game number five. Yeah, the effects are gonna. If you guys are wondering, we're just kind of quiet during the effect. I'll put it in later. But game number five, or should I say games more, or system, whatever. It's the Kinect and the PlayStation Move, right?
You talk about Kinect. I have little to say about the Move, but I do have something to say.
All right, so say something about the Move.
Sorry, Move. Yeah. All right. Well, the Move. I mean, in my opinion, it just looks like a high-definition Wiimote. I mean, high-definition Wii, because the Wiimote is not high-definition. Not thinking tonight, guys. But yeah, it's... I don't have a PS3, so it doesn't even matter if I care or not, but it didn't look that good until I was walking around in Target, and I saw, like, a little promotion. And I saw this sick game. It was just, like, Move Sports or something. But there was, like, a gladiator. There was, like, an arena. Yeah,
sports.
Yeah, and it looks sick because the sword fighting. I mean,
the real weapons.
It looks like it'll be really fluid. And I got to say, in the bow and arrow, I think the Move, as well as being, like, a high-def Wii, I think the motion sensing will be a lot better.
The Wii's going to die this year.
And I'm starting to think that the Move is pretty sweet.
Yeah, definitely. The Move is, like, you got all these new games coming out, and it's everyone. You need a high definition Wii. That's what you need. Wii just kind of upsets me because it's not high definition. The only thing that
it's not a next gen console.
It's definitely not. If they made it high def, it would have been. But you know, you need the good quality looking games to make it really immersive. But like I said, I'm thinking the Wii is gonna die out this year. Xbox is gonna do well, but it's gonna be time for the PlayStation. If not this year, next year.
I think it'll be what the Wii's been doing, what Nintendo's been doing. They'll just ride with their Mario exclusives, Mario Galaxy. Exactly. It keeps them alive. Little kids like to buy them still. So, I mean, I don't think they'll get killed completely. But, I mean, didn't Wii top out this year?
This year? Not yet. No.
No, it did well, though. I know it's doing well.
It did well, but no. I'm pretty sure Xbox rules the market this year.
Yeah?
I mean, imagine all the exclusives coming out this year for Xbox.
I mean, well, not like... Well, Mass Effect made
tons of money. Oh, as of now... Maybe Wii owns.
I know Wii's doing well. I know that much. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Want to talk about Kinect?
The
Star Wars game you said
The Kinect. You probably heard us talking about it the last two episodes. It's going to be a hands-free gaming type thing, because no controllers are used, and the only controller, well, I guess one controller is used, and that's your body. You are the
controller.
You are the controller. Basically, it senses depth perception. It senses where you move, how you move. It senses if you jump. It senses basically anything you do. You
can scan, like, stuff.
You in the commercial, when it was still called Project Natal, you had the chatting. You could, like, there was a skateboard game where if you hold up your skateboard, it will, like, scan the back of your skateboard, like, the picture, and then put it into the game. I think the Kinect, at least the Project Natal, looked so amazing. The Kinect really just dumbed down. I mean, Project Natal had so much more. You had that awesome fighting game.
Now, when you look at Kinect, it's all like...
Now it's like almost like a Wii thing.
Yeah, like, use your avatar. I hate the avatar.
And the Jedi thing was at E3. It was that project. It was for Project Natal. And they never announced anything about it for Kinect.
I don't know.
And imagine being a Jedi with a lightsaber, except you just hold your hands together, and it'll move exactly like it should.
That's sick.
That is pretty sick. And, if you saw, there was this thing called, like, Milo.
The kid.
The kid. I mean, it's stupid, but it's pretty cool. You can talk to the guy, and you can talk back, and you actually can have a conversation with his bot, and you could show him things, and he could look at it, and he's like, oh yeah, that's a fish. He understands what it is. It's almost like an artificial intelligence, so that's pretty epic, in my opinion. Move on. QFact for game number 4. You talk about it.
Yeah, you're talking about it. AC Bros. Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. Brotherhood. I have not played a lot of Assassin's Creed, but what I've played and what I've seen, it's an awesome game. This one's supposed to be the best in the series. It's basically going to be like, you're going to have your brothers. I did a little quotation thing. But you can have your brothers, and you can direct them around, kind of like a squad game. It's supposed to be the best in the series. I think they will.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good.
I mean, you got the whole idea of how that you're adding more
assassins. And sorry for cutting you off, but multiplayer co-op, the entire game. That's going to be sweet.
And just a little background about it. It starts off right after the second game, so it is in Rome. I believe it's maybe only one city, though.
It's the same guy. It's Ezio. So.
It's Ezio, but I think they're only keeping it to one city.
Oh, are they?
I think it's going to be only in Venice, which may be a good thing or a bad thing. But it reminds me a lot about this game. I think it was an Xbox game. It was called Republic Commando. It was a Star Wars game. And you're like this main dude, a clone trooper, and you have all these specialized team members. You know, they have their own... Kind of like
Reach,
you know,
almost
Reach or any Call of Duty game, but you feel more for your characters because they don't die completely like right away.
And you control them.
And you can control them, yeah. And you can really you get attached. ODST like basically. How is Reach gonna be? Okay, Q for number 3. Fable 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is one of our top 3 games, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, we already entered top 5, but we're in the top 3 now.
3, ooh.
He's the big guys.
Fable 3. Fable 1 game and Fable 2 did extremely well. Extremely, extremely well. And now Fable 3 is coming into play, and it looks pretty exciting. Storyline doesn't change too much, apparently. You're a guy who tries to bring down the king. Alright, that's exactly what you did in the second game. Sure. But that's only the first part of the game. The second half of the game, you are the king. And you have the whole land of Albion and other lands where you can control. For instance, you could set taxes on lands. You can, like, say, oh, we're going to war with that country or something like that. You'll be the king, and you have all the powers of a king. So it's an RPG, and it's going to be an RTS.
It'll add a lot of cool elements, in my opinion.
Definitely. You can really... the weapons is going to be a cool thing. The weapons change based on how you use them. So you can have a plain sword, right? And let's say you start using that sword to kill a lot of innocent people. The sword's going to be, like... It's going to change into be, like, darker, like more evil looking sword based on how you kill them. And now let's say you use a sword for good. It's going to be like a holy golden kind of sword. So that's pretty cool. And you actually touch the people, so that means you can like drag them along, like say, hey, you, get over here, I'm dragging you to jail, or something like that, and you can actually pull them to jail. And all most of the RPG elements from the second game, you know, any kind of sex, marriage, home buying thing. So it's going to be pretty cool. Oh, and set in, during, like, it's basically the Albion's Industrial Revolution, so a lot of machines are going to be put into play. Fable 3, coming out really soon. November something. Whatever.
Number two.
Cue effect for number two. And this will be our...
Call of Duty Black Ops. Boom. This will spend some time on this. I guess, first, do you want to talk about the story mode?
Yeah.
And then I'll talk about multiplayer?
Yeah, so... Honestly, when I first heard about it, I wasn't too excited. You know, after, you know, Activision and their whole Infinity Ward problem, you know, not looking forward to Modern Warfare 2, I was like, what more can they do? And then you had something like World at War, which was a decent game. Campaign was good. Multiplayer, in my opinion, was
fun. That was it. It was just decent, yeah.
It was decent. I wouldn't play it over and over and over again. Like, Modern Warfare 2, you get addicted for a while, and then you just come. Completely stop.
Yeah.
And then you play every now and then. But, so Call of Duty Black Ops is set during the Cold War with things containing such as, Vietnam War, things, you know, perhaps the Korean War.
Yeah, it's gonna be through, like, a couple.
You're the Black Operations unit that was, during that time. You're doing a lot of secret missions, you know, espionage, you have, this is interesting. You have something called Create a Class 2.0, which will allow enhanced customization with appearance items, as well as usual perks. So, players will be able to extensively customize their weapons, you know, the usual attachments, and customize the writing and decals for any part of the weapon. So, you'll be able to make it look cool, you know, with adding the equipment, but you'll also be able to, you know, customize the colors and things like that. Add writing to your gun. So that's going to be pretty cool. There's going to be vehicles in the campaigns. You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of the Call of Duties have vehicles. But, Sean, what happens in multiplayer?
You're talking about... Oh, yeah. Multiplayer vehicles? Is that what
multiplayer vehicles?
Which is either going to be a good thing or a horrible, horrible, terrible thing where someone jumps in the vehicle and rapes chase the entire match.
Yep. That's basically... Imagine a noob tube that can go really fast and has probably unlimited ammo. Thankfully, it's a perk. Correct? Not a perk. It's a killstreak.
Is it?
That's what you said.
I don't know. I mean, do you want me to start talking about multiplayer?
Yeah.
Alright, so we'll start off. The big thing is, the Prestige Edition was announced, and the item that you get with it is a remote control car.
This
is also one of the, one of the kill streaks is if you get 3 kills, you get a remote control car that you drive up to the enemy and you can explode, which is pretty cool.
But that's not the vehicles we're talking about.
No.
We're talking about real cars.
And then, what else? What else was there?
Black Ops is a direct sequel to World at War, including some of the characters from World at War.
Oh, wow.
Did not know that.
Neither
did I. One of the main characters, if you guys remember, Reznov, he's coming back. You know, he was a Russian sergeant. I remember him.
So there is still no Call of Duty 5.
That's right.
Okay. Some new weapons, the bow and arrow looks pretty cool. But you shoot the bow and arrow, yeah. It's got a scope, it explodes when they hit them. Sticky grenades, I mean, it looks a lot.
Yeah, but what about that dive?
Yeah, we were watching a IGN Rewind.
Yeah.
And what you can see, I would go check it out right now. But what you can see is, like, some guy, I mean, you see the first person, the person who you're looking at, and he's shooting someone else, and then you see in the corner of the screen,
some guy on the right,
someone does like, he does like a dive, and it looks like he's jumping and then going prone. So we don't know if this is a new button, like, I have no idea what
that's
this
like
is.
A midair. That basically means you can have like a midair headshot. Or like a murder kill.
Yeah,
like
I'm sure
you're jumping
so many, like,
and you're diving and you can kill the
there'll
person.
There'll be so many achievements for you, know?
That would be really cool. So I guess that we can wrap that up, right? So, Call of Duty Black Ops coming out November 9th, 2010. Developed by Treyarch and published by Activision. So, no Infinity Ward yet because, you know, it's Treyarch's turn. Alright, and it's going to be from the same engine as World at War, so expect a lot of the same, you know.
Oh, same engine?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of disappointing.
But it didn't look the same. World at War kind of, I thought World at War looked pretty
bad.
Downgraded. Yeah.
Why didn't they just use the Modern Warfare 2? I think the
But that's what that looked like. That's what the commercials looked like. It looks like a lot.
It might be an updated version of the engine.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, there you
it's
go.
It's improved. It's an improved version of the engine.
So that's so good.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
I mean, it's good to see that they're not just taking, like, minor Call of Duty stuff. Oh, wait, we forgot something big. There's now going to be a theater mode.
Yeah.
Where you can make decent machinimas. If you have a good match, you can just go in a theater. If you get a triple or a quad.
Screenshot it.
And also, there was something we also saw this from IGN. In the back, it says upload. And so we don't know if this upload, if you can upload to YouTube, if Treyarch's going to open some site. That'll be sick. And also, the last thing is, this came to my mind. And then
file
the lights flashed. Oh, yeah, there's like a file share, like Halo. So, I mean, yeah.
I mean,
so,
just Call of Duty games in general. They're just really great games. You know, they require a lot of, you know. Especially the music, a lot of music.
I wonder if Hans Zimmer is going to do the music for this again.
That'd be pretty good. You got voice acting, you know.
They
have motion capture. Some guys literally acted out, and then they capture that motion and put it in the game, like they use for movies. And just very good series in general, especially that campaign. You know, it is a campaign-based game. You can't say it's... Oh, I'm getting that. The multiplayer sucks at that game. So what? Even if it does, which I don't think it does too much.
But what they need to do is what Modern Warfare didn't do, to really show themselves that they are a campaign game, don't make the campaign 5 hours, 4 hours. You know? Because, like, I feel like the Modern Warfare 2 campaign was too short, and people took it more as a multiplayer game.
May have been too short, but it was amazing.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It definitely blew your mind.
You get three games when you get Modern Warfare 2.